And there she is. There you go. But it did work. Got it in there.
Yes, I did.
Woo! This kind of Lord fair. Oh, Father, you're so good. You're so kind. Thank you for your blessings on our youth. Father, having them in here in the service with us, pray for a special blessing on them, but thank you for them all coming up on the stage here and sharing things that had happened. We're thankful for you, dear Holy Spirit, for the work that you're doing in each of their lives and in our lives and their leaders' lives. And so, Father, I again, we praise you and thank you for that. Thank you for that egg getting in that milk jug, Lord, to make that example of what seems to be impossible is possible. And so we got that egg in there. And then, Father, I pray that you'll bless this message, Father, that it'll be clear, that it'll be exactly what you want, that you will do the work. We ask it for your glory, for your name's sake, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, you know, in one way, you know, because the impossible situation was me burning my hand while trying to get that in there. You know, what seemed impossible became possible,
yeah,
right? So it just reinforced what I was really trying to say. We're looking at part two of a two-part series of messages called The Hidden Option. And today we're going to look at the thought that the best option is what we're going to look at. And so the best option here was that Tim helped me. Right? That was the best option. But I didn't know that, did I? So it was hidden. I had no clue that was going to happen. So sometimes in our lives, God uses impossible situations in our lives. Have we been in those times? Things seem impossible. We talked about it last week a little bit where we look at two options. We either have this or that. We're in a catch-22 situation. We can't get out of it. We have no discernment other than what we see. And yet we learned last week that God gives us a third option if we look to him to show us that option. And one of the things that we can walk away with this message is that when we feel like we're in the, what's the term? Is it the gooseneck, the bottleneck? Where we're being squeezed into a situation or a direction. Good, you guys know what I'm saying. That's good, because I don't. And so we get in that situation. We look at we're on the crunch. We're being crunched into a circumstance that we don't know how to handle. We look at it a certain way, but when we call on God, God will say, did you think of this? This is how I'm directing you. And so we can look at those circumstances, as frustrating as they might be, as an opportunity for us to discover something that God wants to work and produce through it that brings him glory. In fact, through those impossible situations, our faith has grown because we've analyzed it for ourselves and we go, this is the situation, but man, look what God did. And our faith would grow. And in that, God would be glorified, wouldn't he? Because we saw God do something we didn't expect, and he stood up and did say just redeemed us in the situation, and God got the glory for it. And so even though the solution that God has for us oftentimes is hidden, he will always give us the best option if we look to him. And that's key. We have to look to him. If we don't want to stay in the catch-22, we don't want to stay in the either or that one option or second option, but we want the right way to see it in perspective. We have to look to God for the best option that he's presenting to us. I've heard it said before that God already has the solution in place. We have to believe that. God already has the solution in place. We just have to look to him to reveal to us what that is. Now, one of my favorite stories in the Bible amongst many is the story of Gideon in the book of Judges. And we're going to look at that beginning in verses 1 through 8. And it says, Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the well of Herod, so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give to the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. God will deliberately allow circumstances to enter your life and my life that will squeeze us into that situation to where we have a choice to look to him for the third option and allow him to accomplish what he wants to or not. God will allow those circumstances where we're in that middle, pressured, and trying to decide what to do, for God to reveal His own hand, His own design and purpose in that situation for our lives. In verse 3 it says, "Now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead, and 22,000 of the people return, and 10,000 remain." Now the Midianites were tens and tens and tens of thousands of people. They couldn't even be counted. And the Israelites had come together to follow Gideon to find deliverance from these their prime enemy, the Midianites. And so in verse 4 it says, "But the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. Then it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, the same shall go with you, and whomever I say to you, this one shall not go with you, the same shall not go." So I'm going to tell you who stays and who leaves. So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, "Everyone who laps in the water with his tongue, as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink." And so you got the picture, you come to the river, there are those that laid down on their belly, stuck their nose basically in the water, and licked the water up with their mouth. There are others that knelt beside the river, scooped the water up in the palm of their hands, and drank out of their hands like this. And God said, separate the two, those that lap like a dog, and those that drink out of their hands, or those that are on their knees to drink. And the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink water. Then the Lord said to Gideon, "By the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go, every man to his own place." Gideon was no big dude in society. He was not a major military official. He was a little guy over a little group of a little flock in a little community, and God called him because of his faith. Led him to lead the Israelites to combat against their arch enemies, and the arch enemies were thousands and thousands and thousands of times larger than what they had together. And God broke them down all the way down to 3,000 people or 300 people. And he promised Gideon, "I will deliver you from this place." Gee, I bet their catch 22 was, "We're going to fight and die. If we don't fight, we're going to die. We're in a bad situation." What was the odds? Well, God told Gideon, "I'm going to deliver you with these 300 men." Wow, third option. Blew my mind. 300 people, you're going to use our 300 people to deliver us this way. So the people took provisions and their trumpets in their hands. And he sent away all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, and retained those 300 men. Now the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. Now, looking at your fill-in, it says, "Ask God for the grace to know and accept his perspective in your impossible situation. Ask him to reveal the best option." Wow. Ask God for the grace to know and to accept his perspective in the impossible situation that we're facing. And he will reveal to us the very best option. Putting it another way, he'll direct us clearly. Judges 7, 9 through 15. "It happened on that same night that the Lord said to him, 'Arise, go down against the camp, for I have delivered it into your hand. But if you are afraid, go down to the camp with Purah, your servant, and you shall hear what they say, and afterwards your hand shall be strengthened. Go down against the camp.' Then he went down with Purah, his servant, to the outpost of the armed men who were in the camp." They snuck to the outer skirts of the Midian camp. "Now the Midianites and the Amalekites, all the people of the east, were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts, and their camels were without number, as the sand by the seashore in multitude. And when Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream to his companion. He said, I have had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. They came to a tent and struck it so that it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed. Then his companion answered and said, "This is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hand God has delivered Midian and the whole camp." But God had already told Gideon that he was going to use the 300 men to give them victory over the Midianites. They would be delivered from the threat of the Midianites. God will sometimes tell us the answer, but we look for confirmation of that answer. When the confirmation is consistently there, we can consistently stand strong in faith. And that's what happened. The enemy had a dream about what was going to happen, and his name, Gideon, was in his dream saying that they would have victory over the enemy. And so it was when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation that he worshipped. He returned to the camp of Israel and said, "Arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand." When it was confirmed again, Gideon worshipped God. He praised God. "God, you've made it so clear, so obvious. You've reinforced it. I praise you for the deliverance from this impossible situation that you have brought us into." And I can only imagine that he says, "And you will be glorified." God's best option comes with confirmation through others, dreams, his voice, etc. But caution. God will never, ever tell us through others, dreams, and his voice anything that contradicts the truth of his word. So we have to keep the guideline used by the scripture. In Judges 7, 16 through 20, it says, "Then he divided the 300 men into three companies." Gideon saying, "Okay, God, you give me 300 men to defeat the Midianites and the Amorites and countless number. And so now I got to think about what we're going to do." Now God's saying, "Think about it. You've got to be creative here, Gideon." He didn't tell him how. Supposedly. It's not recorded here. "Then he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet into every man's hand with empty pitchers and torches inside the pitchers. And he said to them, 'Look at me and do likewise. Watch, and when I come to the edge of the camp, you shall do as I do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then you also blow the trumpets on every side of the whole camp and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon,'" giving God credit first. "So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outpost of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just as they had posted the watch, and they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers that were in their hands." Put the cap on here. You put a torch inside this, you hold it up, and that was what they had. They had a pot, a clay pot with a lit torch inside of it. They smashed it, broke it, and the Midianites heard it and saw it. What they didn't realize was that each torch represented a company of soldiers. They thought there was the chief captain of each company holding the torch with a mass of soldiers behind him, 300 of them surrounding them. So look what happened. Verse 20, "Then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers. They held the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands for blowing, and they cried, 'The sword of the Lord and of Gideon.'" As a result of the confirmation, boldness filled the heart of Gideon. He didn't waver. He didn't pull back. That's the wonderful thing about when we discover God's option instead of our own. When we discover what God wants us to do in a situation that we can't figure out, that when it's absolutely affirmed, we have bold confidence. There's no doubt. This is the way. This is what God says. I'm doing it based on faith in God. God's creative planning and methods emerged from God's best option. That bottleneck. It emerged. It pushed out some other option. God's best option gives us assurance of victory against all odds. In Judges 7, 21 through 22, the ending part of this passage, "And every man stood in his place all around the camp, and the whole army ran and cried out and fled. When the 300 blew the trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp, and the army fled to Beth Acacia toward Zerah. as far as the border of Abel Meholah by Tabith. So the soldiers woke up out of their sleep. They saw all the torches, and supposedly the company of soldiers that were behind each torch, and they were so afraid they started slicing each other up to honor themselves instead of being killed by the enemy. So what have we learned? God will speak to us through his word. We're going to be in situations that are catch-22, one or the other, the either-or situation. And we have a choice as Christians to look to God and say, God, what do you want? You've allowed this in my life. You love me. You don't allow anything in my life that isn't for good. You've allowed this to come into my life. What do you want? And we keep our eyes and heart focused on God, and we listen. And God will speak to us in different ways. One, through his word. Read the word of God when you're in those circumstances. Let the Holy Spirit reveal things to you through his word, through his spirit, his people, individuals that come up to you, right? Through his church, the church family, and through the circumstances. The circumstances are meriting this, and God's telling me what to do. People in the church is teaching me what I ought to do. Even if you might hear a message and the pastor doesn't have any idea what you're going through, but God speaks to you and reveals the truth. That's through the church or through people, Christian brothers and sisters in Christ, that God has put something on their heart to share. The Spirit of God compels us. The Word of God reveals to us. So God will speak to us through his Word, Spirit, people, the church, and circumstances. Trust that God's perspective, that God's plan, that God's purpose is the best option. I mean, let's rationalize that out just for a quick moment. God loves you and me, no doubt. God loves us so deeply that it can't be measured, no doubt. God allows things in your life and my life for a reason, and we have a choice to follow God and seek out his way or not to. God wants us to walk by faith. He wants us to go the extra mile. Gideon knew what God said. You will be delivered from the Midianites. I will use you and these 300 men to have this victory. But Gideon had to accept it and plan out the strategy to do it, or to at least execute that strategy. We need to be willing to do what God says to do. And sometimes that's not easy. But we trust him because he loves us. Be willing to do what God says to do, even when it does not make logical sense. That's the tough one. Our logic, our control says, that doesn't make sense, God, therefore it's wrong. Did it make sense to Gideon that God said, 300 of you will conquer a countless army of Midianites and Amorites? No human sense. It's always a spiritual revelation that God is giving. It's here that God is preparing you and me and us. When we're in those circumstances, the catch-22, the one or the other, in those circumstances where we feel closed in without any options, it's only there that God is preparing us, and get this, I love this, for extraordinary victory. Hey, the odds are stacked up against me, let's say. I'm going to trust my God, my Father in heaven who loves me, let's say. And God's going to prepare my heart to see what he wants to do, and it's going to be an extraordinary victory. Not only will he possibly deliver us from the situation, but he'll create something through it that brings him glory. We can praise him for that. And so Gideon chose to see his limitations, and we should too. We should look at those as an opportunity. Choose to look at our limitations as an opportunity to see God's hidden option, the best option. In your fill-in, it says, our resources in hand or out of hand do not determine how God guides us or uses us for his glory. Doesn't matter what resources we have or don't have. What matters is doing what God tells us to do for his glory. And I will say that when it's out of our hand, not in our resources, God gets that much the more glory. We will not say to ourselves, we did it, like God said he didn't want Israel to. But we will say, God did something incredible. This story, this historical event, affects you and I, even today. We're to walk by faith, right? Walking in faith will lead us to where we need to be to obtain that victory over the impossible situations that we face in life, right? Walk by faith. Faith will lead us to where we need to be to obtain victory over those impossible situations in life. So always seek to choose God's hidden option, which is the best option for your impossible situation. We don't have to walk in those situations defeated and discouraged, but we can walk in those situations in faith, knowing that God is preparing a great opportunity to bring Him glory. Praise God for that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank You for each one here. Thank You for the truth of Your word. Thank You, dear Holy Spirit, for revealing truth to us, for every one of us that learns and understands the truth of Your word. It can only come by You, dear Holy Spirit, for You reveal truth, not man, but You. And so I praise You for that. And I pray, Father, You help us to walk in the victory that You call us to walk. But, Father, in that victory, let us proclaim You in Your name and bring You glory in all of it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.